Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Believe in Everything Auburn is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow from your favorite teams. You can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. That is Bet Online, where the game starts. War Eagle, everybody. Welcome back to Believe in Everything Auburn. Allow us to reintroduce ourselves because it's been a minute. Taylor Davis, Jason Campbell, here to talk everything Auburn. We welcome in everybody, and boy, is there plenty to talk about. We have not spoken since A-Day. Obviously, the transfer portal opened back up. And most importantly, it's day one of the freaking draft, and I always love the draft, so a ton to talk about, and we've got an interview for you. Very excited about this one. Keldrick Falk is going to be joining us at the end of this episode, talk a little bit about his insane freshman campaign, spring ball, what he expects for this upcoming season. So a lot of good stuff in this episode, and we will just dive right in. But before we do, we welcome in Jay Cam, the man, the myth, the legend. You know the drill. Jay, how's the past couple of weeks been? Catch us up. What's new? What's good?
Well, a lot has changed in the last couple of weeks. You know, okay. You know, Taylor has blown up to this superstar that we see, leaving us little people here sitting in the chairs, please. You know, just, sipping on lemonade while she's out, you know, making movies, you know, so, you know, I get what
I
it feels like.
This guy.
Yeah, I get what it feels like to be the sidekick. You know, you got to say, you got to chill
out. You aren't used to that.
You got to chill out. Exactly. You know, I'm used to being the starter, you know, now I'm QB2, you know, so, you know, it is what it is. You know? But it's been a great couple of weeks. You know, spring game was an awesome day as far as like weather, you know, saw a couple of good highlights from some young studs that I think will make some big promise this fall. You know, it's been a really, really fun spring so far with a lot of things happening and a lot of things in the air. So looking forward to see what we talk about today. And, you know, yesterday I was out, you know, laying mulch and planting flowers and, you know, getting mad at my landscaping people for covering my lights that shoot up from the ground to shine up on the trees and stuff.
Yeah.
And just put mulch over them. And I was wondering, like, why is it so dark? And then I go out, it's covered in mulch. So then I test the guy. I say, "Hey, why would you put mulch over the flowers that you see that shines up out of the ground?"
Yeah.
Their response was, "It's not us. It's nature blowing mulch over the lights."
I know he didn't just blame God. 100%. You know, that's what he just did.
I just blew a gasket. Yeah, I just like, hey, it's just not even gonna go there, but. I just like
my guy pointed the finger at God for the mess up on the landscaping. That is something else.
Just over time, so the lights just get covered. You just laid the mulch. What are we talking about?
I can't. Oh man, life of a homeowner. And you blinked your eyes and you ended up, you know, complaining about mulch. And it seems like just yesterday you were hearing your name called in the NFL draft, and here we are. About to embark on another year of collegiate talent, hearing their names called and beginning the next chapter of their career. A very exciting weekend always. Let's start with that, and then we'll talk A-Day to lead into Keldrick's interview. So let's kind of flip it a little bit. The NFL draft starting today. It is taking place in Detroit, Michigan. A lot of expectation for the quarterbacks in this year's draft. It's also a stacked group of wide receivers. It feels like a very offense heavy draft. And obviously we've got a few defensive guys from Auburn that we'll be keeping our eye on over the course of the weekend, but 257 total selections will take place over the next 3 days. Chicago Bears with the number one overall pick. That pick was acquired from Carolina last year. Couple just random housekeeping things for it. Cardinals, Packers, and Rams have the most picks as it sits right now with 11 each. The Bears actually have the fewest with 4 picks, 2 of those being first round. And then Panthers, Browns, and Texans currently do not have a first round pick, which will begin tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time. They have it covered on pretty much any network, ESPN, ABC, NFL Network. You can get all the access everywhere. So give me your take on how you think the top 5 is going to shake out. Like I said, Chicago on the clock. Every expectation that it's going to be Caleb Williams. Who does Washington go with at 2? Did the Pats end up with Drake May? Who's the first other guy that we're going to see off the board other than a quarterback? Because there's so much fixation on the quarterback class. What are your anticipation points for the top 5 or top 10?
Yeah, this is a really good draft class. Just overall, when you think about talent-wise, like offensively, you know, the game has changed so much that it's built around offense. And yeah. When you think about this receiver room and you think about the depth of even a tight end position nowadays, it's just an extended receiver is what it is. So when you think about overall, you know, Chicago's on the clock. You got to take Caleb Williams, right? Like if you don't and then he goes somewhere else and does great, you're going to be looked at, you know, for not taking this guy for the rest of your life pretty much, you know, yeah. So. But there's also this anticipation that they could trade the pick because they're getting so many offers and they only have 4 draft picks. And like right. You said, like they could trade the pick because they have another first round pick at number 8. So they could, you know, it all depends on are they in love with Caleb Williams or are they just like Caleb Williams, you right. know? So this is a poker game, you know, it's going to be a poker game. So I think they're putting stuff out there saying that, hey, you know, Chicago is listening to a bunch of different trades. They're going to give them more draft picks and a lot of early draft picks. And to me, the game is always bigger than one person. But at the end yeah. of the day, the quarterback-driven league, and you got to take the quarterback in order for the fans. Like they do have, you know, they still have Justin Fields on the roster as of right now. But they right. have also told him he could seek trade. So my thing is, anytime they say that, their mind has been made up that they're taking Caleb Williams. Now, okay. they could trade an 8 pick. Right now they have Udoce from Washington going mm-hmm. to Chicago at number 8, which is a receiver-heavy thing. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I may just trade that number 8 pick. I have to go ahead and take the quarterback at 1. Okay. You're going to trade Justin Fields and pick up a couple of picks. So you may get, you know, 2 picks for him. And then at number 8, you can get rid of that because it's not that big a difference between the separation when the receivers are this close. When you got Harrison, Neighbors, you do say they all are very similar and close. So, you know, Harrison's going to come off the board probably first outside of his quarterbacks. You know, I expect.
You think?
I expect number 2. I expect Washington to take, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. And then, you know, you get to number 3 and 4 and 5, it becomes interesting because I do think the Giants, for whatever reason, if May is there, I think the Giants would take him, you know, and try to deal Daniel Jones. You know, the Pats definitely need a quarterback. So, you know, the Pats are going to take a quarterback. So this thing can all kind of, you know, once you sort of get to 3 and 4 and 5, it can get very interesting because you have some really good left tackles that's in this draft.
And then Joe Alt being the top one from Notre Dame.
And you got Mims from Georgia, you know, him being a big time player. And then you talk about Bowers from Georgia, the tight end. He's probably gonna go top 10. So,
I think so too.
You know, and then Dallas Clark, probably the DN from Alabama, probably end up, you know, somewhere top 7 Atlanta. So you know, the quarterbacks are gonna start this off, and then it all depends on what the Giants and what the Pats do at their picks. And then that kind of tell you, like, if the Pats take a quarterback, which they probably will, but if the Giants do not take a quarterback, then you'll probably see 4 quarterbacks in the first round. Then some of those top guys will fall early in the second round. But if for whatever reason Giants take one, you may get 5 quarterbacks a day in the first round, and then you'll get 2 in the early second. So this is a draft, man, but I love these receivers in this draft, man. This is the deepest
class. Hard not to.
Like, who you go with, Neighbors or Harrison? I think a lot of people are going to say Harrison because his dad was a Hall of Famer. So you know what it feels like and looks like, because you know he's getting extra teaching at home, you know, right. And nobody was a better route runner than Marvin Harrison, you know, like the way he just ran and routed people up. So he can watch film with his son and teach things to be an extended coach. I think sure. It's what separates him from Napers at that standpoint. But from a talent, either one of them top two for me.
Seriously, it's a toss up. Okay. Talk to me a little bit about these quarterbacks and your perception of all of them. If you were ranking them and you're looking at their fit in the league, because it's one thing to look at their resume. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner, broke all kinds of records, did incredible things. But the hesitation is, how does that translate to the league? Because he's a smaller dude, and the durability factor, cough, cough, Bryce Young, doesn't always translate. I think it's interesting you point out you got to make best use of that number one overall pick. It's a privilege to have it. And I think people look at the Panthers last year and CJ Stroud, who went on to do great things, could have been theirs. And would it have been a totally different result for Carolina? I'm not sure, because the problems go beyond Bryce. But could CJ have survived more things than Bryce? 100%. So to know their chances of adapting to the league very quickly is also a big part of this. And does Drake May actually have the makings of someone who could go in and be a presence quicker than Jaden, who may need some time to bulk up a little bit? We're also not even talking about JJ McCarthy. I think Caleb Williams still has some question marks. You know about the position more than anybody. Who of these guys do you see translating best and quickest?
Yeah, Tony, you make a lot of great points. If CJ Stroud would have went to Carolina last year, how much of a difference does he make that team? He makes him a little bit more of a difference because he's a bigger, taller quarterback and everything than Bryce is. And Bryce has the challenge of having to try to see over the D linemen and blitzes. But at the end of the day, Carolina offense, got something in my eye. At the end of the day, Carolina's offense is nowhere close to what Houston's offense was.
Definitely.
And they didn't protect. They didn't have Tunsil as their left tackle protecting Bryce Young, you know. So you can say, hey, how would Bryce have looked if he was in Houston? He may have looked totally different because he wouldn't have had all that pressure on him as he had at Carolina. You know, just been a different football team. So I just think overall, you know, it's all about a quarterback landing in a spot where his surroundings has a lot to do with it. Just like we talk about it for years, Aaron Rodgers landed in Green Bay. Green Bay was already a really good football team. And then he takes over, then his talent just takes it to another level. You know, you look at Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes already had a really good football team with Kansas City. You know, they was making the playoffs, you know, doing good. But then he comes in, his talent just takes it to another level. So do these guys end up in situations where they get drafted to teams that's already kind of solidified as good teams? But now you throw the talent of a Caleb Williams, who's what, exceptional throwing the ball outside the pocket. You know, he makes at-live plays like Pat Mahomes. And right. I think that's the way the league is trending, is how do we find quarterback that makes at-live plays? You don't really get the traditional drop back quarterback anymore. You know, everybody wants the dual threat, a guy that can take the ball down and run. You know, back when I was playing, they try to say, hey, try not to run so much. Now they say the opposite. Hey, if something opens up, take off. It's like, so now you get a chance to utilize your overall ability. And I think that works well for these quarterbacks. That's why Jaden Daniels will probably be a higher draft pick than he would have years ago, because he asked that extra dimension of a runner, and he's fast, you know. So, and they're looking at like, okay, yes, he's underweight, but they feel like they can get weight on him. They feel like from a nutrition standpoint, they feel like, hey, he played in the toughest league in college football. So if he survived that, most of those guys playing on Sundays.
Are here.
So I think from that standpoint, right here, you talk about JJ McCarthy. I like JJ McCarthy. He's played in a winning system, so he knows how to win. And he's gone through some adversity. The head coach wasn't there for some of their biggest games a year ago. You know, if you think about it, for them to get to the playoffs, they have to do it with their offense coordinator, promoted the head coach, and Harbaugh being at home and him having to show leadership to carry that football team. So that tells me that he knows how to lead and he's a winner. Everyone gets caught up into the Lamborghinis of what I mean, quarterbacks, about, oh, this kid here can throw the ball off his back foot 65 yards. Who cares? Yeah. Can he win or not? You know what I'm saying? Like, people get enamored about the wrong things. And they want something that looks like you're not going to find another Pat Mahomes. Pat Mahomes is Pat Mahomes. You're not going to find another Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. You know, like, let these guys individualize, like Josh Allen. They kind of let him be his own. He's big. He can throw. He can run. And he just kind of created his own motto. You know what I'm saying? Like, let other guys create their own motto. Tua can't be any of those guys, but Tua gets rid of the ball quick. You know, because he know he has to. So I just think McCarthy slips into that number three. I honestly think they probably take him before Drake May. If you're asking, I think, because why? To me, we went through this a couple of years ago with the quarterback that Chicago took number one, who only started 12 games his entire college career. Yeah. And they took him over Watson, and they took him over Pat Mahomes. And he only started 12 games.
Trubisky.
Drake May, yes. Trubisky, yep. So Drake May, think about this. He has great talent. He has an arm talent. But North Carolina was picked to kind of contend to be in the playoffs. And they was nowhere close.
Yeah.
You know, and everything. So my thing is, yes, you can put him somewhere with a great arm. We said the same thing about Rosen when he came out of college. Yeah, 15-year guy, 15-year guy can throw it. You know, I'm just like, man, don't get enamored with that stuff. That's why I think I take McCarthy before I take Drake May. And I like Drake May, but I take McCarthy first.
Too.
And then, you know, where's Bo Nix land? You know, I think Bo probably needs to end up in a situation probably like the Saints or somewhere, you know, where they have first a veteran quarterback.
Where's he predicted to go?
People are saying Denver, maybe. You know, places like that, you know. He needs to be somewhere in the offense that's kind of similar to what he ran in Oregon, where he's allowed to make those quick throws and use his athletic ability and all those type of things, and where he's able to, you know, be athletic. That's when Bo is at his best, when he's able to be athletic, not just say stand in the pocket and just, you know, he's on the move type of guy. And then you talk about Penix. You know, Penix is the type of guy that can drop dimes, and he's a proven winner.
There's so many.
Yeah, he's a proven winner. So where does Penix end up at? You know, so it's all these great questions and all these great answers. And I wouldn't be shocked if Atlanta takes a quarterback. I know they just signed Kirk Cousins to his 3-year, $100-some million contract, but they know Kirk is on the back end of his career. He's just come off an Achilles injury. So I think they may take a quarterback and groom a guy and not rush a guy and say, hey, you got 2 years to sit behind Kirk, and then you're the guy.
You've also got Spencer Rattler. And I think that he's – right? He keeps getting forgotten about. And I think a lot of that because of what South Carolina did not do this past year. They had a really bad season. And unfortunately, that overshadowed a lot of what he's capable of. But I think that this draft is going to have some, we say this every year, but I really feel like it's going to be true this year. I think there's going to be some guys that maybe didn't have the splashiest college career that do translate to the league very well. Right now, being a big name in college football isn't just about your football acumen. We all know that now. It's we've built these stars now, and some of that has nothing to do with the field. And so I think you're going to have some guys. I think the running back from Tennessee, Jalen Wright, keep an eye out for him. I think he's going to translate to the league so well, but like, he's not a glitzy pick right now. He's not one that everybody's hyped up right now. There's going to be some defensive guys that are the same way. So I think it's going to be an interesting one this year. Maybe some picks that are out of order from what we're all anticipating, just because the big names and the hot stories in college football right now aren't always about football talent.
All right. Well, they make everything about the quarterbacks, and the quarterback is not the football team. You know, yes, they can help carry a football team, but also a quarterback needs what? He's an engine. If you got an engine in the car, but you don't have the parts around it, then I don't care what the engine is, it's still not going to go. You know, so you got to have the engine with the parts, man. And just like you can have the parts, and then you need to unplug the engine. You know, so this thing, that's why I say sometimes they get too caught up on the quarterback thing. And not enough on teams. Like, if you think about the great teams that won over the last couple of years, Taylor, there have been great football teams.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, you can say Kansas City this year struggled in the middle part of the year, but when they got it rolling, they still was a great football team because that defense this year, it wasn't their offense that won the Super Bowl.
No, their receivers struggled. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. But they still get credit to Mahomes and Kelce and all of them. Yeah, they make the plays. They had to make the drive to win it. But they wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for that defense standing 100%.
Their ground. 100%. Which of our Auburn guys would you guess will get their name called first?
Man. I'd probably say one of the corners.
I feel like Jalen.
Think Jalen go first. I like Jalen from an athletic standpoint. The only question mark people have been talking about is his size as a safety and everything. Fair. But you know, before it's being a ball hog and being around it, you know, like he's always around the football. And yes. The way the game has changed, it's not like he has to be one of these safeties in a box that has to come down and hit hard all the time. Like this is a passing lead. Like it's a passing lead. You want someone that knows how to cover tight ends. And he had the – you saw the difference in the Georgia game when he was covering Bowers and when he 100%. Got hurt. And then all of a sudden he wasn't in the game anymore. And then Bowers just all of a sudden took over the last 4 minutes of the game and we ended up losing. Now, that should tell you something, you know. But I will say between DJ James and Mighty, you know, need not me and my Pritchett, everyone nicknamed Mighty. But
I wasn't even sure. I was like, who the heck?
I think they probably take Nehemiah first because he ran a faster time, but he's a bigger corner than DJ. But DJ still is a guy. I expect both of those guys to not be drafted too far apart from each other, you know, from that standpoint. My surprise that could go earlier may be Marcus Harris, I meant to say.
Okay.
It's someone that could be, you know, could get drafted higher than he was originally thought of.
I like it. I mean, I'm very excited. The draft is always so fun to watch. Like the music just injected in my veins. It's so much fun and always very exciting to see these guys get to see that dream realized. Let me get your take on this because this is always a topic of conversation every year. And I think I have a different stance on it. Now, I don't know what your situation was when you were getting drafted, but you weren't there in person. So I feel like I can ask you this. If you are one of these guys that chooses to go in person, a lot of the top 10 are planning to be there. I was reading a list. Caleb's going to be there. Jaden's going to be there. I believe Marvin Harrison's going to be there. So, you know, contingency of them choose to go. Obviously, the option is made available to all of them. And nowadays, if you do stay at home, there is a camera crew there to like get your reaction, whatever. If you go in person, you bring your family, you get dressed to the nines. This is a truly once in a lifetime experience. And this moment, regardless what happens, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, this moment is guaranteed to live on for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Do you bring your girlfriend? Here's my stance. These relationship moments that are put on display for the whole world are going to become a meme. I mean, like, lest we not forget CeeDee Lamb's girl trying to take the phone out of his lap. Even Russell Wilson's. Huh?
No, Tennessee Titans quarterback, remember? Last year they had yes.
Looking a little salty. They're also no longer together. So like 95% of these relationships aren't going to last forever. And as much as you think you are madly in love at 20 years old, chances are it ain't going to work. And now your draft moment with your family, your coaches, the beginning of your future, that moment will live on. Now has your ex in it. And now your future wife isn't going to be able to rewatch your draft moment because your ex-hussy's in the screen. I just think it's dumb. I think it's dumb. Leave her. If she wants to join, she should be in a different green room. Her sitting right there on the couch next to you is unnecessary. That's just my take.
I think it's you can go both ways with that.
Sure.
If you've been dating someone, because we have a couple players on the team now, that are married in college, you know, so if you've been dating someone for, you know, 2-3 years, I think, yeah, you should bring that person, because at the end of the day, she's kind of been your rock while you was in college, you know, on some of those tough games where you didn't play as good and, you know, you need that support, you know, and your family's kind of away. So then that person is kind of the one that, you know, kind of keep you going and talk you up. Now, they also can be a person that can mess you up, because, you know, they can get in these arguments all the time before games or get you distracted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's between a good woman understanding too, like, hey, let me not distract him before this game. Whatever I got to talk to him about, it can wait to after the game, you know?
Yeah.
So there's those things that have to happen. But I just think you should take her if you've been in a long relationship. And
okay.
I think she should understand, like, hey, this is really a family moment, you know?
Yes.
Like, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to overshine, you know, saying the mom, the dad, the siblings, you know,
the coach.
Saying like, right, the coach, you know, saying like, I know these people have kind of been in his life from the beginning. And just like in the WNBA draft, in her life, you know, we can talk about that in a second. I got something to say about that. So You talk about the draft and as a whole, it's okay for that person to be there. Just don't be front and center, you know, like,
yeah,
if
I agree.
Mom and dad have been there with that kid from get go. Let the kids sit there between the mom and dad. Hey, girlfriend, you sit over there beside the mom. Sit beside the mom. Don't sit in front of the mom. Sit beside the
Agreed.
Mom. You know, when he gets that name call, let him go ahead and get his hug and tears out with the people that he would been there with for 20 some years before he got to this, that
and
before you even knew him. You know
totally.
What I'm saying? So let the emotions pour first and then let him come give you a hug and some sugar or something. And then move on to the stand. You know what I'm saying? Just don't be front and center.
I agree.
That's my problem.
Don't make it about you.
Right. Because even if it don't work, when you do go back and watch the tape, you'll see mom and dad sitting beside him and the girlfriend sitting
and
to the side. So
you
don't know. Yeah, they don't know if it's a sister or what. You know what I'm saying? So it's just
I think
it's parameters and it's respect to it.
I agree. Because as much as you think you ain't going anywhere, you don't know that for sure. So it's just always comical to me.
Yeah.
Down
to that.
Yeah, look,
even if you're engaged,
things can change. But nonetheless, I always look forward to all the viral moments that are sure to come out of the NFL draft. So look forward to all of the action. Huh?
Let me ask you something.
What?
So you're a bachelorette, you know, so you watch the Bachelor show.
Mm-hmm.
So if the dude he picked the girl on the show, right? And we've already gone through this, that only one out of 28 have made it.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you something. So if you met the Bachelor out in public in Nashville, in the mall or somewhere, and y'all just connect eyes per se.
Yes.
And he says, yes, you know, it didn't work between me and let's just give her a name, Athena. It didn't work between me and Athena.
Stunning.
Yeah, stunning name. But it did work.
It didn't work with her.
Yeah. And you'd be like, hey, let's start to go out. So if you become Miss whoever his name is. Are you going to remember those shows that you watched with him and the others?
Yeah.
So are you going to say something to him like, I don't want to watch any of the reruns because, you know.
For sure. Who wants to see anything of your current with their exes? Legit, no one.
Oh,
and the draft is the biggest moment of your career. And if it gets to be broadcasted, that's such a cool moment. I wasn't a part of it, but I get to watch it. But it had some hussy. I ain't watching it. Heck no.
Yeah,
heck to the no. Okay. We've got about 8 minutes before we bring Keldrick in. So real quickly, just wanted to touch on a few things that have been happening, starting with A-Day. We'll get into some of the details with Keldrick here in a minute. But Auburn wrapped up spring ball with the A-Day game. The defense began with 27 points, and the offense had to catch up or pass. They did it with a field goal, winning 28-27. I mean, our backup kicker, who knew, an absolute stud, Towns McGough? I don't even know how to say his last name. Towns
McGough.
Towns McGough. 58-yard field goal to end it. Hugh Freeze said it would have been good from 65. He sees him hit 60s at practice all the time. He hit six other field goals. It was pretty much just a field goal day for the offense. There was one other touchdown. He had another one that was nearly 50. And this is our freaking backup kicker. So you're feeling pretty good about that. Punter also had a good day. Oscar Chapman doing pretty well in that regard. But the highlight that we all kind of expected, Cam freaking Coleman. And here's the thing. Spring game, watered down, bleep, blue, blah. I don't feel for a second that we are overhyping this kid. I genuinely think he's going to be that dude. But you saw it all in person. Give me your take.
Yeah, Cam is going to be a solid player. Like, he was one of the top seven players in high school football last year. He's going to be immediately our number one impact player on offense. Like, he just brings so much dimensions to the game. But Taylor, the funniest thing about it is he doesn't even know how good he is. You know, like, it's all fun to him. And that's the best thing about it. But, you know, and I just hope he continue to keep that mindset and keep it fun and everything. Keep working hard. He's one of those kids that stay out to practice 30 extra minutes catching balls. And, you know, and he does it because he just loves the game. And, you know, I went out and talked to him after practice, the last practice they had before the spring game. And he's just shooting the breeze. He doesn't even realize how good he is. And what he's doing is just adding to his, you know, him being an elite player. And I just think, long as he keeps his humbleness and everything about him, he's going to be one of the legendary players to come through Auburn and transform this room as a receiver room. And when you think about, we just signed a kid in transfer portal as well, the Penn State receiver. You know, he comes in immediately with experience. And you got a young room with Perry. You got a young room, Perry Thompson, Cam Coleman, Simmons, Bryce Kane, all these young players that are being dependent on the call. And Camden Brown is probably the only other older guy, him and Robert Lewis, that has experience in college. So I like the room, and I like having three experienced guys with a bunch of young guys.
I finally saw more from Camden Brown. You know, I've been clamoring for him to be more of a presence out there. We saw more from him in the spring game. Robert Lewis got some credit from Coach Freeze as well. I thought he did a good job. We didn't see as much from the tight ends as I anticipated, but I still have a lot of faith in those guys, especially in the passing game as well. Quick take on the quarterbacks. We saw Peyton Thorne, obviously, majority of the time. We got to see some Hank Brown, a little bit of Holden Gerner, a little bit of Walker White. Walker White kind of reminding us all that he is a true freshman. He just got there. Hank Brown settling in a little bit. Holden with some accuracy issues and a couple misreads. Peyton did enough. Peyton didn't blow anyone's socks off, but he did enough. But I think you're sitting at this, and it was reiterated that the way it sits right now, the way Hugh Freeze keeps phrasing it, it is Peyton's to lose. And I don't think anyone showed anything that would have everyone up in arms that Peyton did anything to lose it.
Yeah, you know, it's still Peyton's job to lose, and Peyton's the lone veteran in that room. You know, he's the only one with true experience. You know, that's scary because you're one injury away, knock on wood, you know, to being an experienced quarterback. But I also like Hank Brown. I wouldn't be afraid of, you know, if Hank had to play. Hank is a quarterback. I think he has a great presence about himself. The big throw that down the field that Camden caught in the post came from Hank Brown. You know, so Hank is the guy that he loves to throw it. He's not afraid of throwing it. He's not afraid of the moment. And so to me, like, this is a sleeper guy that everyone should keep an eye on if he gets an opportunity to play. Now, for Peyton, you can't say last year I didn't have guys to throw to or guys can get open, because this year is totally different. Like,
golly.
The team has loaded up weapons around him. You know, he has a 6'5" and tight end. He has two veterans coming back, and Brandon Frazier and Luke Deal, you know, 2 6-year guys, you know. So you got experience there. And then, you know, you go out and you get the receivers in transfer report, and you sign the number one receiving class in Auburn history. You know, and then you have Jaquez Hunter and Jeremiah Cobb and DeMar Alston and all these running backs and everything. And you have an offensive line that you go out and you get the big daddy from Mississippi State, put him at left tackle, and then you move. Yeah, big person. Then you move Dylan Wade inside the left guard. And then you got Connor Liu, who was an outstanding freshman last year at center. And then you got Jeremiah Wright at the right guard, proven veteran senior, been at Auburn a long time. And then the right tackle position, you got too tall Miller, you know, and then you got depth behind those guys. So what's going to be the excuse? You know, it's not like, oh, I got to go out and play lights out. You just got to go out and be solid and look more confident than you did in the bowl game. I think that's where he's getting a lot of lashes, how he looked in the bowl game. If he'd have looked, you know, anything confident in the bowl game, a lot of people have understanding. So it's what people have seen last, you know, but he's got to put that behind him and he's got to be a leader now, Taylor. He's got to gravitate and be like, look, I got these guys now. Now, how do we all get on the same page and work together? And I think him building that timing. So I give him a benefit of a doubt from last year because he came in June. This time you had a chance to play an entire season and you had a chance to go through an entire spring. You know, so now let's see, like I said, you're not going to be what you did last year. It's not like your arm talent doesn't change, you know. So thing is, he's not a big guy that can throw the ball deep down the field. He got to let the ball go early to these big receivers in order for them not to have to come back to the ball. That's something he has to know. He's an intermediate passing game quarterback, and he's, you know, he's very elusive, you know, with his legs. He showed that last year. So if he can keep the elusiveness and understand the timing of when to let the ball go when he's throwing to these bigger guys and be more accurate amongst those 10 to 12 yard throws, then we have a chance in every ball game next year to have a chance with first five games at home.
Yeah. I agree. I think if you've got more guys that are going to be able to create more separation in their routes, you eliminate a few of those inconsistencies from a quarterback perspective. It kind of feels like a chicken and egg situation. Like, which comes first? Which is more important? Which is the foundation? I don't really know. They're all going to have to work together. The identity of this team is not going to be the quarterback. I that's not a slight to Peyton. That's not me being disappointed in what we saw at A-Day. That's just not going to be the identity of this team. We don't have a, quote, generational guy at quarterback that you put the entire philosophy on the back of. So this thing's going to be the sum of all of its parts. And as we have racked up in the receiver room, the offensive line has gotten some help. I think by proxy, you make Peyton look a little bit better. And maybe Peyton plays a little bit better because he's got that confidence boost of, hey, these guys are able to go make something happen in their routes after the catch. They help make me look better. And I've got confidence because of that. So feel good about that. Also, the defense did a great job. The defense did a great job against the run. I think that's one thing that you take from it. The difficulties of a spring game is like, when one side of the ball does well, does that mean the other side did poorly? Or does that mean, like, was our run defense really stout? Or did our running game not live up to standard? So that's the challenges of a coach in a spring game. But we're going to bring in Keldrick Falk. A couple transfers I just wanted to mention real quick. Former IU and Texas Tech defensive lineman Philip Blighty. I'm not entirely sure. Great get. Defensive lineman Isaiah Rakes and Buck linebacker Kieron Crawford. The defensive front needed some depth. They went out and got it. And then, like you said, wide receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith, the top wide receiver in the portal from Penn State. More than just the name that we got, it also shows that Auburn can be in any of these bidding wars right now and in any of these conversations for top targets in the transfer portal. If you think we're out of it just because we've had three consecutive losing seasons, that's not the case. We came out with a top 10 recruiting class after that, so clearly this coaching staff is making waves. All right, let's bring in a guy who's also been making some waves, the one and only defensive lineman, Keldrick Falk. All right, everybody, as promised, our very esteemed guest joining us today, fresh off a, quote, optional workout over at the facility. Everyone, welcome in, Keldrick Falk. War Eagle, man, how are you?
War Eagle, I'm doing pretty good.
I'm 42, so 23 years ago, I just scratched the surface at Auburn, and he was just coming out the womb.
Jay, you just outing yourself, my guy. Yes, we're a couple generations ahead of him, Jay. But one thing is continuing, and that's the love for Auburn. And, man, let me tell you, 1 year of watching you play, and I can tell that you care a lot about this team and this place and the success that you can help them have. Talk to me a little bit about your freshman campaign, your intro to SEC football, and the impact that you were able to make in year one.
We started off against UMass, and you know, that game was part of my fill out game, and got the feel of what college ball really was. Yeah. And you know, as the season went on, of course, we got to play Georgia and LSU. So LSU was my first start, but Georgia was my first SEC game. No,
wow.
Texas A&M was my first SEC game. And, yeah, the SEC is different, man. It's different from any kind of ball we've played before then. So playing those couple games and then getting my first start against LSU, you know, it felt my first start, of course, I was nervous, but it didn't feel too bad. And then after that, I felt myself progressing throughout the season. And, you know, I held my own my freshman year in the SEC.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, playing the SEC. You was freshman All-SEC on the team, freshman All-SEC team. You know, a big accomplishment coming in your first year. What did you learn the most from your freshman year that you can carry over to, that you carried over to spring this year, getting ready to gear up for year two?
What I learned was, you know, when you come into the SEC, you got guys that can play just like you, better than you, or, you know, guys that you're better than. And, you know, those guys are competing for your spot, and those guys are competing to go to the NFL, that next level. Hmm. And, you know, one thing that I noticed last year was, you know, any guy can get there. Any guy can do it, whether you're a freshman, sophomore, redshirt freshman, whatever it is. I mean, any guy can do it. And, you know, your hard work will pay off. It's just a matter of when your time is.
No. Well, your time was your first year out. And look, that is not an easy thing to do at this level. You had 441 defensive snaps last year, which is the most for any true freshman defensive lineman at Auburn since Marlon Davidson in 2016. You're in pretty good company. And look, some positions we see first-year players translate very quickly. The defensive line ain't one of them, bro. That is one of the toughest places for you to get out there. You're facing these running backs, these quarterbacks, these offensive linemen that are truly some of the best in the nation. So when you think back to high school you, or the version of you that was headed to Auburn anticipating freshman year, how did you maybe surprise yourself a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely surprised myself. I didn't, especially coming from small school ball down in, you know, in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. I mean, you know, I didn't never thought I would, you know, play my freshman year, let alone start. So, you know, it just took a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication coming into optional field meeting with coach after, you know, after hours and, you know, just getting to know that scheme like the back of my hand. And after that, you know, it was more of perfecting my craft in that off season and, you know, just making sure you were mentally and physically ready because, I mean, once you step in that stadium, there's no turning back.
Yeah.
You got, you know, 90,000 fans in Jordan Hare that came to see you play, and you know you don't want to go out there and disappoint.
So, Kerry, you know, you had to go through a transition from year one to year two. You know, Coach Garrett was here last year, coach you and everything, and then, you know, he transitioned onto the NFL, and then now Coach Ventrell has stepped into that position, into that role. Talk about the transition, you know, from Coach Garrett to Coach Ventrell, and, you know, what can we expect from him as a D-line coach? Because I know he's a high energy, you know, guy himself. Yeah. I know him. But just talk about from a player perspective, you know, how's it been so far with him just during the spring?
You know, with Coach Garrett, man, he, you know, he left a mark on Coach Ventrell. And, you know, as far as the players go, we see everything that Coach Garrett had, Coach Ventrell had already. You know, he was a real guy. You know, he keep it very real with you. You know, he gonna tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. He gonna coach you hard. He gonna break down the scheme to you to where it's, you know, as easy as possibly can be. And you know, It's been a blessing having him here, just because we had him last year. We know him, and we know how he coaches. So having him here was one of the best things that happened since Coach JG left. And I'm glad that he got the job.
That's awesome. So obviously you had a lot of individual success and the team had some highs last year, but I know at the end of the day, y'all weren't satisfied with a lot of the results that came out of last season, and you guys have headed into this year with a mentality of pursuing progress and taking another step forward for this program. What has kind of been the emphasis from the defensive side of the ball heading into this year to do just that, to take a step forward and put a more consistent team product on the field ahead of this season?
Of course, you know, we got to get the scheme down, but we do got to bond together and, get to know each other. And yeah. The more we get to know each other, the more you feel for the guy next to you. You know, it's more of a, you know, you can't mess this play up. You got this guy beside you. He trying to get here and you got this guy behind you. He doing this because of his mom, his brother, you know. Finding out each other's why on our defense is going to be our biggest thing going into this offseason, because, you know, when you know the players behind you, you know the players beside you, you know, you play harder, you play better, and you play together.
Oh, I love that. Jay, you've always talked about that with your teammates.
Yeah, that's what wins games is, the togetherness, you know, on and off the field, you know, being able to spend quality time with each other, get to know each other, but know your why. You know, everybody's why is a little bit different, but then your consistent why as a team could be ultimately to get the W, you know, at the end of the day. And I think, I think we're trending in the right direction. You know, you talk about Coach DJ Durkin, that came in, Coach Charles Kelly, you know, two experienced guys, you know, coaching. Both of you guys have coached a lot of great athletes and everything. You talk about, you know, just when you see transfer guys come in, you know, in Auburn just signed, you know, two D-linemen transfer guys, it's going to give y'all a lot of help. You have some young guys in this line position. How does that make you feel as a player? You know, you see these guys come in and after the spring. You know, last year it was different. Like, transfer guys came in like in January, but now guys are coming in after the spring. If you see the guys that are coming in, that excites you to be like, oh man, I didn't lie. We're about to be real this year, because you guys have to rotate sometimes and you don't want to drop off, you know, in the games, because you have to come out of the game and get your breath for three plays. You want to make sure we still can get out through it for the next three plays. Get back out there. I just think you feel from a defensive guy, you know, you see some of the defensive guys that signed last.
That makes me, you know, feel pretty good, because, you know, last year we didn't have a ton of depth.
Yeah.
Now we adding guys that can play, you know, they can play with the ones, they can play with the twos, and they can play anywhere in college football. You know, we got a bunch of guys that can play, and that right there will ultimately help us, one, because it helps us compete. You know, it helps us compete against each other, which will in turn make us better. You know, you got different guys coming in from different backgrounds, and some, like the guy from Texas A&M, he came from under Coach Durkin's system, so he knows it. He knows it a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to help us a lot this year going into the season. And, you know, with these new additions coming in, you know, I feel like we're going to have one of the best D-lines in the country.
Wow.
Yeah, we're going to be really dominant up front. We got some guys that really know how to play football. You know, we got some guys that are just really, really good ball players this year.
And with depth, like you mentioned, right, that is so imperative in an SEC season, because it is a marathon, not a sprint. And sometimes you got to sprint the marathon. But give us a little insight into this team. Obviously, you guys just wrapped up spring ball. So you got an opportunity to learn a little bit more about your teammates, and you probably saw a lot of things that we didn't get to see. So give me a guy on each side of the ball that kind of was wreaking havoc this spring ball. Like, for the offense, they were like, this guy, about the defense. And then when you guys were out there, what offensive guy kind of made your life more difficult?
Definitely Cam Coleman.
Figured.
Yeah, Cam Coleman came in and, you know, one of the hardest workers I've ever seen.
Wow.
One of the most talented people I've ever been around. And he was real trouble for us this year. I mean, this spring. And for him to come straight out of high school, for him to do what he did, I mean, he's going to be a really good ball player.
And what about defensively? Who showed out?
Jaren Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the energy, similar to Eugene. Eugene was our energy last year, still is, but he brought more energy with him. So him and Eugene, they came in and you know they got our defense going. But Jaren, he was the energy of the back end of the defense.
Yeah.
You know, he was a great playmaker. Man, he came from Texas, and you know, coming over to the SEC, he was a really good ball player in the spring. He's gonna be a great ball player during the season.
Okay.
All right. Two more quick. NIL now is part of college sports. You know, they didn't have it when Taylor was there. Definitely didn't have it when I was in school. How has it changed, like, a locker room perspective? Like, how do you guys have to, like, you know, be able to be a team and not let outside stuff, like, kind of creep in? How do you manage that as a locker room perspective nowadays?
I think we coming up with a plan this summer. To really just talk about all of the things that come with NIL. I mean, it's a lot of good that come from it. It's a lot of bad that come from it. It can make a team. It can make a locker room come together. It can tear a locker room apart.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have a crash course on how to handle the outside noise of NIL and how to handle NIL and take advantage of it the best way you can to benefit yourself going into your future. Right now we're trying to figure out some ideas to help with that, just because we don't want our locker room to fall apart. You know, we're building something great, so we want our locker room to stay together, stay strong, and you know, we're gonna help each other go get through that process together, just because, I mean, you know, you don't want a item to influence your decision. I mean, you know, I think of it as short-term income, but your long-term income is in the NFL or that dream job you wanted. So, and NIL is a step to help you take care of a family member, take care of your mom and brother back home, or help you start that business or dream job, you know, something like that. So we're gonna have a crash course about that in the summer, and we're gonna communicate with each other and, you know, try to get each other on the same page with NIL.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah, I got last one. Is I'll let Taylor wrap us up and get back to her 5 or 30 jobs that she has. I can't keep up. Draft is tonight.
I'll get the NIL, so.
Hey, the draft's tonight, and it's a big moment for some of your teammates. This weekend is coming up. You know, we got a couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball that might hear their names called before the weekend is over with. How do you think the Auburn guys are fair?
I think Justin Rogers is, I think he's going to go really well in the draft, just like Mighty, Simp, and DJ. I also think that and Marcus Harris is going to be the sleeper of the draft. You know, he was one of our best players on the defensive line last year. You know, as far as I could tell, he had a great combine and he had a great pro day. I think he's going to be one of the guys that could really help out a team in the NFL. Them guys, they're gonna do really well. I can't wait to watch them. I can't wait to, you know, see their reactions on draft night. you know, I'm happy for them, and I'm, you know, I just wish I could be in their shoes.
You will be.
Take your time, man. We enjoy having you on the planes. Let's not rush the NFL things. But one thing I'll tell you, I covered a few Auburn games last year, and in coaches' meetings with Coach Freeze, when we asked about you, he said, "I need a few more like him." And I thought that was a really good compliment and a really good testament to how not just a nod to your talent, but a nod to who you are as a person. And I know that's something that this coaching staff is putting a lot of emphasis in. And if he said that about you your freshman year, I'm excited to see what else is in store for you, man. So thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. Always great. I also saw your mic'd up segment the other day on Instagram. You're a character also, and we're going to see more of that in years to come. I love it. Well, enjoy the rest of your spring and summer, and we look forward to seeing you back in Jordan-Hare this fall.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.